It was May 1873 when Damien landed on Molokai. He worked there for almost 16 years. Molokai. The island of Molokai is about 60 kilometres long and 11 kilometres wide. It is covered by mountains, some of them rising over 1,500 metres above the sea. Because of this, it's not easy to make a living there, and so few people ever stay. On the north side of the island, there is a low-lying stretch of land jutting out into the sea. It is cut off from the rest of the island by a huge cliff, over 500 metres high. The cliff makes it almost impossible for people to get up to the main part of the island. Certainly, it was too steep for any leprosy sufferer to climb. The picture shows the settlement on Molokai. It was on this stretch of land that the government of Hawaii had opened a settlement for people suffering from leprosy. The first settlers were sent there in 1865, 8 years before Father Damien arrived on the island. The 800 people living on the island were housed in two villages. Their huts were poorly made, just a framework of branches covered with either sugarcane leaves or long grass. A small chapel had been built, but no one had ever bothered to look after it. There was also a hospital, though it did not have a doctor or even any bandages or medicines. When the first leprosy sufferers were sent out, they were given a supply of seed and a few farming tools. The idea was that they should look after themselves. But with hands and feet rotting away, how could they be expected to grow their own food and provide for themselves? Supplies soon began to run out. There was no law on the settlement to make sure that everybody got their fair shares. After a while, people began to die, not from leprosy, but from starvation. Those who were strong stole from the weak. With nothing better to do, many of the settlers spent their time in drinking and gambling. Drunkenness became a common sight. Fighting often broke out among the leprosy sufferers, so that many went about in fear of what might happen to them. A few people did manage to escape from the island, and news of the troubles reached the government. Troops were sent to bring order, but they failed. They were too afraid to go near the leprosy sufferers in case they should catch the disease from them. Then the government decided to give more help to the settlement. Further supplies were sent out, including clothing and a few cattle. A man was sent there to take charge of the work among the settlers, but he did not stay for long. With no one to care for them, the people felt that there was little left in life to hope for. It was at this point that Father Damien arrived in Molokai. He was 33 years old, healthy, strong, and able to do the hardest jobs. He was ready for the work he felt God had called him to do. As he strode over the island, it was hard to believe his eyes. He had seen leprosy sufferers before, but nothing so awful as these. Their bodies were deformed and ugly beyond words. Wounds and sores were left uncovered, and some even had maggots crawling in them. He reached the village of Kalawao, which was to be his home for the next 16 years. All the while, there was silence. Nobody spoke to him or made him welcome. Some, in fact, seemed to resent his presence there. He belonged to the race they believed had caused all their misery. First, he looked round the village to see what it was like. He found the church and felt that it needed attention. He spent 4 hours sweeping the floor and repairing the walls. During this time, a few of the people stood outside the building, watching him at work. Some brought him small gifts. One brought flowers for the church, and another brought him fruit to eat. He took their gifts from their diseased hands without showing any fear, and thanked them. He had decided that from the beginning he would show them he was not afraid or put off by their condition. When he had finished at the church, one of the onlookers asked him to take a burial service. The priest readily agreed. There was no coffin, and the body had to be wrapped in a mat. It was carried on the shoulders of 4 friends. The grave was just a shallow ditch. The day before there had been some rain. It had washed the soil away from the graves, leaving the bones of other bodies in view. Damien found the cell sickening, but he forced himself to read the burial service and see that the body was properly buried. As he walked away from the grave, An old woman pulled at his arm. Her son was dying, she said. Would the priest come to see him? Damien went with her. The smell inside her broken-down hut was more than the priest could bear. Several times he had to leave the hut to get some fresh air. The dying man was lying on a mat, which was wet from his own filth. His body seemed eaten away by the disease. Damien knelt down beside the man and took hold of his hands, only to find that most of his fingers were missing. The priest said a prayer for the dying and then waited for the end to come. Before long, the son's eyes flickered and closed for the last time. By now, daylight had gone, and Damien realised that he had been at work for over 12 hours. He had enjoyed only one short break when he had stopped to eat his fruit. And he had not yet found anywhere to sleep. Although he was not afraid of leprosy, he did not want to sleep in one of the lepers' huts, so he chose a tree near the church that he thought might offer him some protection. He spread his mat on the ground and made ready for the night. This spot under the tree, in fact, was to be his sleeping place for the first few weeks of his life on Molokai. Father Damien leaned back against the tree and began to think about his new life. The people needed medical treatment as well as a priest, he thought. They also needed decent homes and a school for the children. And one day, he would build a proper church with a bell tower. With these thoughts, he said his prayers and went to sleep. Father to lepers. Damien filled every day of his life in Molokai with work. There was always something to be done. He had very little time to himself. The needs of the leprosy sufferers came first. For their sakes, he was doctor, nurse, builder, carpenter, engineer, as well as priest and friend. Soon after he arrived in Molokai, he decided upon a set plan of action for each day. First, he always said his prayers in his little church, and then he had breakfast. This done, he felt ready for the day. His most important duty was to visit the sick. He started at the hospital and then went round from hut to hut, seeing to all the settlers. With the help of another white man who also had leprosy, he washed the patients and dressed their wounds. It did not matter to him whether a patient was a believer or not, he treated them all alike. At times, he had to act as a surgeon. With only a medical book to guide him, he cut off rotting bones, dead limbs. All he used was a knife and a small hatchet. With a few swift blows, the job was over. There was no need to put the patient to sleep, because there is no feeling in the diseased limbs. During the rest of the day, there were the usual duties of the priest to be done. Because of the way he cared for them, many of the settlers were won to the faith and were baptized. There were quite a number of weddings to conduct. Even though they might only live together for 3 or 4 years at most, marriage was a comfort to many couples. And always there were funerals. Between 300 and 400 people died in the settlement, about one every day. The priest was concerned that everybody should have a decent burial. Whenever possible, Damien made a coffin for the body. He also dug the grave and read the burial service. Later, he made a cemetery by fencing off a plot of ground next to the church. He started a coffin association to help settlers save up and buy a coffin for themselves. During his first 6 years on Molokai, Father Damien made most of the coffins, dug the graves, and buried about 1,600 people. He did it by himself. Each Sunday, the priest held services in the two villages of the settlement. From the beginning, he always greeted his people as "we lepers," instead of the usual "my brothers." He said this to show just how much he wanted to care for them. At first, few people attended the services, but over the years, the numbers began to grow. Many of the settlers came to believe until the services became quite crowded.